So have you ever had a hard time letting go of something? You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes it can be pretty hard to let go of things. That's what we're talking about tonight in our series called What Does Jesus Do? We're asking the question about our active God. Not a God who sits back or far away, but a God who's active and present in this world. Jesus, what are you doing and how can I participate in that? And tonight, in a sense, we're talking about letting go, but there are some things in the world that are really hard to let go of. Maybe there was something that when you were growing up, you loved that thing and it was hard to move on from it. When I was a kid, I had this stuffed animal and he was a dog and his name was Warrior. He was named after the Waukee Warriors. Can I get a purple, gold? Yeah, anyway, all right, there's like 10 of you. Yay, go Waukee. Now, no, what is it now, the Northwest Wolves? The Wolves? All right, there's like 10 of you. The rest of you are like, who cares, right? But anyway, but the Warrior dog, right? I loved this dog. I grew up with this dog. I loved this dog. Then I got into like my preteen years, and I still slept with that dog. And then I got into high school, and I can't say like I slept with the dog in the bed with me, but it was in the room. He had a safe space. And then when I was moving to college, I had a decision to make. Was I going to bring Warrior with me? It pained me so much to leave Warrior at home. To this day, that stuffed dog has a safe place in my parents' home. I just saw him last week. He's in a closet. He looks at me with sad eyes every time I open that door. It was hard to let go of him, right? But the thing is letting go of something, it actually takes that kind of intentional and conscious effort sometimes. I know this is hard, but I'm going to do it. Like, what happens if we just ignore something for a long time? We pretend like it's not there anymore. It doesn't mean that it's going to go away if we don't consciously, intentionally do something with it. When I was in high school, again, I was a sophomore in high school, and I was in a biology class taught by Mrs. Schmidt-Lloyd. And we had our biology final at the end of the year. And there was this kid during the final from the back of the classroom who actually yelled out, "Would you just let it go?" And I was like confused. Everybody, I mean, it was shocking and jarring in the room. Everybody's like, what's going on? We turn around, we see the guy who said it. And he said, "We learned about this at the beginning of the semester." He's like, "Can't you let it go already?" Now, maybe that's something you'll tell your professor as you walk into your finals in a couple of weeks here. "Won't you just let this go? I learned about this so long ago." The reality is, like, not dealing with it doesn't mean that it's going to go away. It takes an intentional and conscious effort. But we can let go of things. It's just not always the easiest thing in the world to do. Like, it doesn't just go away. It takes something spectacular. It takes something special. Now, tonight I want to talk about these problems that we have the opportunity to let go of as Christians. There's no way that we could possibly talk about every single problem resolution, conflict resolution in one night. So instead, I kind of want to cover it with this one topic of how Jesus teaches us to let go of things, but it's not easy. And it's through this thing called forgiveness. Forgiveness is central to the Christian faith. In fact, it's so central to the Christian faith that it shows up at the central event of our faith. It says this in the book of Luke, chapter 23. It says that when they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed Jesus to the cross. And what's Jesus going to do? He's experiencing betrayal, he's experiencing denial, he's experiencing torture, and he's done nothing wrong. What will he do? Does he call out to his God and say, "I want you to damn them to hell forever"? No, he doesn't do that. Does he get off the cross and smite them with the power of God, which he has? No, he doesn't do that. How does he deal with this? He says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Forgiveness is not a marginal issue for Christians. It is at the center of what we do, and we're called to do it over and over and over again, and it's not easy. It's so not easy that Jesus' disciples were pretty uneasy about this topic of forgiveness. One time, one of Jesus' disciples, his name was Peter, he asked Jesus this question in Matthew chapter 18. This is a little after our Bible reading for tonight. After Jesus is teaching about forgiveness, Peter's like, "Okay, I mean, come on, how much do we have to do this?" He came to Jesus and he asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? And he's thinking to himself, like, 7, that's a lot, right? Maybe you go by the rule of 3 strikes and you're out. And he might be expecting Jesus to say, "Wow, Peter, that is so Christian of you. Let's go with 4, right? No, Jesus comes back and he says, "Not 7 times, 70 times 7 times. Now, don't try to do the math in your head. That actually is representative of something. In the Bible, numbers would represent something important. And 7 was the number for completion. And if you really wanted to make major completion, you would say 7 times 70, or you would say 77. So what's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, as Christians, this isn't a marginal issue. This is central to who we are. As Christians, we're called to forgive completely. Now, Jesus is not just saying forgive completely. He's actually pointing out one of the major issues with the world, and one of the major issues that's been showing up in the world since the beginning of what God's people have been recording about people's history. In the book of Genesis, there are these two characters. Their names are Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel did not get along. They were brothers. And Cain gets really jealous of Abel, and Cain kills his brother. Cain is then sent off to this land. Now, God's way of protecting Cain is he says that anybody who messes with Cain or tries to take vengeance on Cain, they will be paid back seven times. They'll be paid back completely, if you will. But then Cain has this descendant named Lamech. And I want you to take a look at this. Lamech writes this poem. He's an artist, right? And he writes one of the worst poems you've ever heard in your life. Lamech is braggadocious. He's telling people, I have killed somebody because they tried to mess with me. And the way that he describes it is, if Cain is avenged seven times for Lamech, it's 77. What's he saying? I am unbridled in my vengeance. Jesus, by saying, I want you to forgive 77 times, I want you to forgive 70 times seven times, he's telling us that we live in a world where the natural reaction to pain and the natural reaction to an offense is to take the posture of fighting, whatever fighting looks like to you. Maybe it's fighting, maybe it's flighting, maybe it's freezing, right? You know what I'm saying? But whatever that posture of fighting is for you, that's our natural instinct. And Lamech, here he is doing it. And Jesus is saying that in a world that accepts unconstrained revenge, what's Jesus doing? Jesus is about unconstrained mercy. What does Jesus do? Jesus forgives. He demonstrates mercy, not vengeance. But I want you to know what forgiveness really means. Because even though forgiveness is central to the Christian faith, it's one of the most misunderstood terms in the Christian faith. Here's the New Testament word for forgiveness. It looks like this. It's aphiemi. Would you say that? Aphiemi. Brilliant. Aphiemi. And it literally means to forgive. Quite literally, it means to release, to let it go, like Elsa, right? Let it go, can't hold me back anymore. Like, not quite. It's not quite like that. A lot of times when we think that we're forgiving somebody, we're fixing the problem. Right here, you see that. The definition of forgiveness is not to fix. The definition of forgiveness is to release. So forgiving is not fixing. And a lot of the times, our biggest issue with forgiving, and the reason why we can't do it, or the reason why it's so frustrating, the reason why we don't want to do it, is we think if we are to forgive somebody, we're going to have to fix them, or we're going to have to fix their issue. And Jesus is saying that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is releasing something that doesn't belong to you anymore. Forgiveness is about releasing. Forgiveness is about letting go. And then Jesus follows this up and he tells a story about someone who really needs to let something go. Jesus tells a story about how there's this servant who serves a king. Now this servant has made an incredible mistake. An incredible mistake. He makes a financial mistake and he's really hurt the king because of his financial mistake. He owes an insurmountable debt, right? Just a debt that could not possibly be paid back. And he's begging the king, would you please forgive me of this debt? There's no way I could ever pay it back. And the king says, it's okay, you're forgiven. Meanwhile, this servant goes out and he sees someone who doesn't owe him an insurmountable debt, but he owes him just a little bit of money. And he walks up to that person, and what does he say? It says that he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. It's okay sometimes to laugh at some of these stories that Jesus tells, because it's ridiculous, isn't it? Someone is holding on to someone's neck. I mean, he was just forgiven for an insurmountable debt, and now he's holding someone else's neck saying, I don't want you to breathe, I don't want you to live, and I'm going to get my payback by 70 times 7 of the vengeance, right? This is what's going to make it better. But you read that story, and you're like, this guy is a moron. Like, this is humor. This is a ridiculous story. What is Jesus saying about unforgiveness? Jesus is saying that unforgiveness is totally irrational. Unforgiveness is the thing that you do when you're not thinking straight. Unforgiveness is the thing that you do when you're acting out. Unforgiveness is the thing that you do when you can't find a sock in your closet and you're so mad about not being able to find the sock that you like take every single piece of clothing off the rack, and next thing you know, your entire closet is a mess. Am I the only one who's done this before? And your entire closet is a mess. Thank you for representing. Praise God. All right, I don't feel alone. The rest of you, like, wow, you're a weirdo, right? That's how I feel right now. Thank you for relating to me. Like, the rest of the closet's a mess right now. I've made a mess of this. I said, I just want to find this sock. I'll never find anything in this mess. It's how I act when I'm irrational. I'm not thinking straight anymore. And Jesus says, that's unforgiveness. It's totally irrational. So then he says, let's think about this reasonably. So he brings in a reasonable person back into the story. Here comes the king who forgave the man of his debt, and here's how Jesus puts it. He says, then the king called the man that he had forgiven in, and he said, you evil servant, I forgave you for that tremendous debt. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Then Jesus follows it up. He's like, that's what happens when you don't forgive somebody. And you're like, whoa, that sounds like a major threat. I don't think it's a threat. I think it's an observation. According to Jesus, unforgiveness is self-sabotage. You're self-sabotaging when you don't forgive. Because here's what unforgiveness looks like. When we're not forgiving somebody, what are we doing? We're keeping record, right? So somebody does you wrong and you're like, all right, no problem. I will just file that away, right? I will just keep that. I'll keep it really organized. I'll even make sure that I have all the information right there. Can you see it? You've done me wrong. I'm going to keep that. But of course, nobody gets offended just once in their life. So okay, then you're going to have a couple different documents, a couple different things to file. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, this is nice because now I can keep track of all the different bad things that somebody's done to me. Yes, this is feeling good. This is feeling great. I'm reminding somebody of all the different problems that they've put into my life. That's what's going to make me feel better. But the problem is, if this is how you're going to deal with the problems in your life, you never get rid of these things. Because you cannot fix somebody else's sin. When someone sins against you, Jesus doesn't ask you to fix their sin. He says, forgive their sin. Forgive them. Don't fix them. But this is trying to fix it, right? I'm going to fix it. No, you're not. Because all of a sudden, it's not just two sheets of paper. You're like, okay, well, now I've just got a whole ream of paper that I'm going to carry around with me. I've got this big old record. You know what? In fact, actually, this is getting pretty nice. So what I'll do is, just to make sure that I can keep track of everything, I'm going to carry this entire box of paper with me at all times. I got everything that somebody's done wrong against me. And just in case somebody does something else, I've got more reams of paper in here. It's a pretty heavy box, right? Don't do me wrong because look what I can do to you. And you're like, this will get them. Who looks like they're suffering in this situation? I mean, my goodness, we're saying, aha, I've got my hand on your neck, right? You sinned against me, I'll show you. I want you to see just how badly you acted against me. I want you to admit it. I don't want you to breathe until you do. I mean, it gets that nasty sometimes. And we're telling ourselves this is fixing it, right? Is this fixing anything? Do I look like I'm living right now? Does this look like a fun way to live at all? The issue is, when we don't let go, we hold on. Something happens to this stuff. And so what are we going to do? We're left holding on to this stuff. And we carry it. And we're telling ourselves, that'll fix it. But it doesn't. Jesus invites us to something that's so much better. But it's going to take some real honesty about who we are. You can't forgive if you're not honest about who you are and what you've experienced. Again, look at how Jesus describes this. The king said to the servant, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant? I forgave you that huge debt. Like, Jesus is calling for revolutionary empathy right here. What's empathy? Empathy is saying, I relate to you. I understand you. I get it. Empathy doesn't fix something. Empathy joins somebody. Empathy says, I may not understand perfectly what you're going through, but I get it. I'm with you. I know what that's like. When someone's done you wrong, is it possible to wrap your mind around how a human being might do something wrong? And some of them are really big things. It's empathy in a revolutionary sort of way, but this kind of empathy is so difficult because empathy feels virtuous until it relates us to sinners. Empathy is really, really virtuous until it means that I'm relating to someone who's done something really bad to me. And I can comprehend how a human might do something harmful. Now, let's be careful here. Because you might hear all this and think, okay, so forgiveness means you just let it go, you pretend like it didn't happen, and you become a doormat for everybody around you forever. And you say, abuse me, hurt me. That can't be the case. Forgiveness is not these things, right? So here's a list of what forgiveness is not. Like, I think sometimes it's helpful to understand what forgiveness is by just naming what it's not. And I'll explain why it can't be these things. Forgiveness is not ignoring, forgetting, or excusing. Forgiveness does not pretend like something never happened. Forgiveness is not tolerating abuse. Forgiveness is releasing something. Forgiveness is something that's good. There is nothing good about allowing someone to abuse somebody or something any longer. Like, that's the most unloving thing that we can do. So that's what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not reconciliation or restoration. See, reconciliation and restoration, that takes two. Reconciliation and restoration means that your friendship, your relationship, it's gone back to the way that it was before. But that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is actually something that you can do if you will never see this person again. And for some of us, that's pretty necessary. Because some of us are carrying records about people. We're carrying wounds from some wounders that we haven't seen in forever. And maybe we won't ever see them again. Sometimes you have to forgive someone who's passed away. Forgiveness is not reconciliation or restoration. It doesn't actually require that person to be around anymore. Forgiveness does not demand that someone says, I'm sorry. You are actually empowered, even if the person who's done you wrong has no idea whatsoever that they've done something to you. You still have the ability to forgive. Then finally, forgiveness is not barring consequences. Like, forgiveness draws lines. It can do that. Forgiveness doesn't forget something, like it says at the beginning there, but rather, forgiveness moves forward. Letting go does not mean necessarily I'm moving on like nothing happened before. Forgiveness in the sense that it lets go and releases, it's we're moving forward with what we have now. But we will move forward. It doesn't bar a consequence. Now, it cannot be any of these things because of what you heard in the Bible reading for tonight. And it comes in the exact same chapter that we've been looking at already throughout this talk. It's in Matthew chapter 18. And Jesus gives us this incredibly practical, step-by-step process for how we can handle when someone causes a problem in our life, when someone hurts us, when somebody offends us. He gives us a step-by-step plan for true forgiveness. Jesus puts it this way. He says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. So therefore, forgiveness cannot be ignoring something. Forgiveness names it. Forgiveness walks up to someone and says, hey, you did this and it bothered me. Forgiveness is also humble in saying, I will listen to what you have to say about this, but forgiveness doesn't ignore it. Forgiveness goes to that person privately. It's not going to everybody else. It's going to the person who did you wrong. What good does it do to go to everybody else? If you go to every single other person about what someone has done against you, that person who's done something against you never knows that they did something against you. It's not actually going to solve the problem. Forgiveness is not ignoring. It actually goes for the issue. But it goes for the issue in a real way. Now, here's what's really interesting. Jesus says, if that's unsuccessful, take one or two others with you. This is groundbreaking when it comes to forgiveness. And this also shows just how safe Jesus is. And this especially needs to be mentioned if you are in a relationship with somebody, if you interact with somebody, if you have an acquaintanceship with someone who is hurting you. I mean abusing you, using you, and they're unrepentant about it. This is creating a barrier. Jesus is saying, especially in the unsafe relationships in your life, and statistically speaking, in a room this size, in a community the size of Kairos, there's probably someone who can hear my voice now or will hear it on a recording or is watching on YouTube who is in a relationship that's unsafe. This is abundantly clear. According to Jesus, you should never be alone with an unsafe person. You are called to forgive that person. You are not called to be around that person. You are called to release what that person has done to you because it's not good for you to hold on to anymore. You are not called to continue to take that person's unrepentant pain directed toward you. You should not be alone with an unsafe person. Jesus is so safe. He is giving us radical forgiveness. And it's really important to name this because unfortunately, I'll confess that sometimes in church settings, in Christian circles, we don't name this part. If someone's unsafe, you shouldn't be in a room alone with them. And if you're hearing me right now and you're in a relationship that's not safe, talk to me. Talk to Nicole. We will connect you. We'll get you to resources. You should never be alone with someone who is unsafe, ever. Jesus continues this story, this practical step-by-step guide toward forgiveness, and he says, now, if that person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. If he or she won't accept, treat that person as a pagan or tax collector. Don't you love the word of God, right? Now, here's what's interesting. Jesus is creating more safety in the situation, the story. Now, he's not saying, like, okay, the church in the sense that you go to a room this large, and I'm going to bring somebody up here and say, that person did me wrong. Do you all want to hear about it? No, the church in this sense probably means something like your small group. It means you're adding more safety to it. You're bringing in more reasonable minds into the situation, but you're taking it to that person. You're not ignoring it, and you're not doing it in an unsafe way. But then Jesus says, look, if that person will not repent still, go ahead. Treat him like a tax collector. Go ahead. Treat him like a pagan. Now, this is important. How does Jesus treat tax collectors and pagans? He doesn't give up hoping for them. He continues to teach them. He actually continues to spend time around them. Like, Jesus continues to care for them. But that being said, it's actually an experience of freedom for you. If someone refuses to repent, if someone refuses to acknowledge what they've done is wrong, and you have plenty of accountability surrounding the situation where people are agreeing, yes, this is wrong, we agree, this is wrong, it means that in this way, this person's not following Jesus anymore. And this is freedom for you. You don't have to hold someone to Jesus' standards if they don't follow Jesus. Sometimes it can be so frustrating as a Christian when someone has sinned against you and you're like, oh my goodness, why won't they figure it out? Why won't they just understand? It's, oh, they're not following Jesus in this part of their life. I can't expect them to follow Jesus' standards. So I can let that go. I can release it. I don't have to carry these things anymore. Jesus gives us this practical step-by-step guide for forgiveness and how to actually deal with the problems and releasing it in a healthy way. This is not healthy. My arm feels like it's about to break off. I am in so much pain right now. I haven't lifted weights since 2014. This is awful. And we tell ourselves, no, I'll just get stronger. You know, I'm tough. I can carry this. You get pretty used to it even. But it's still there. And it's still holding you back. And the interesting thing is you think that you're holding somebody else by the throat, but you're actually preventing yourself from breathing. Forgiveness is like breathing, and I am about to run out of breath if I keep on holding on to this. Forgiveness is, it's releasing. It's letting go of something that doesn't belong to me. It's declaring emotional independence from my wounds and wounders. This is hurting me. I would like independence for this. Do you know what forgiveness looks like? Forgiveness looks like this. Praise God, right? Like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh my gosh, my arm actually wants to raise. You know what I mean? Like, if you're ever wondering why do people raise their hands in worship, it's probably because they just let go of something that was insane for so long. Like, oh, thank you, God, right? You know what I mean? Like, that, this is freedom. This is living. I can breathe again. And forgiveness is like breathing. We pray this. This is a daily prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. We're gonna pray this at the end of the service tonight before communion. But Jesus taught us to pray this daily. So I hope that you pray this prayer daily. It's the Lord's Prayer. We'll pray it at the end. But in the middle of it, Jesus, after saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He doesn't say it like that because he says it in a different ancient language. But here's what shows up in the middle, right? Ready? It says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The way that we say it here is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do you know what you're saying? Hey, God, I would like for you to forgive me in the way that I forgive others. how do you forgive others, right? Like, that's not super fun if we're being honest about it. Like, how do you forgive somebody else, right? God, forgive me. Well, how are you forgiving Roxanne lately, right? Now, here's the thing. Again, I don't think that this is a threat. This is an observation. It is, we will forgive someone based on how we understand forgiveness. And if I believe that somebody in my life can't be forgiven, if I believe I cannot let go of this thing, it's probably because I believe that God could never let go of my sin. I'll never receive what I don't believe is real for somebody else. If it's not real for them, why would it be real for me? God's saying, forgive, pray this daily, forgive us as we forgive others. Forgiveness is like breathing. Go ahead, take in a really deep breath, right? So breathing, it's like forgiving, it's like receiving forgiveness. What if you don't let go? Go ahead, try to hold that, unless you have a medical condition. Seriously, don't, that's really bad. But like, breathe it in. Let it go. To continue to receive more forgiveness, it's like we have to let forgiveness out. Forgiveness is like breathing in that. We will not receive forgiveness, not because God doesn't want to give it to us, but because we don't believe forgiveness works like that. If we won't release this, if we won't let it go, I'm telling you, I'm holding on to your throat, but I'm really holding on to my own. I'm not living anymore. I'm not allowing myself to breathe. So as I close this down, how do we forgive? Like, what does this look like in real day life? Because it's still hard, isn't it? Follow the example of Jesus. Ask your active God, not what would you do, what are you doing, and how can I participate with you in this? The first is, do what Jesus did. Ask God to forgive them. Now, Jesus on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. He's saying, God, forgive them. He's saying, I will forgive you. I am forgiving you. But sometimes we're waiting to feel something in order to forgive somebody. I need to feel like I want to forgive you before I do it. But I've learned something as the older that I get. I have learned that my actions almost never follow my feelings. If I'm waiting to do something until I feel something, I will act irrationally. Rational actions don't follow feelings, but rather, I've found out that when I act on something, my feelings eventually follow. Like, if you hate running, you will continue to hate running if the only thing you ever see is the finish line of a marathon and you see people passing out and looking like they're dying, right? You're gonna think, I'll never wanna do that. But if you start day by day practicing it, you'd fall in love with this thing. Maybe it's not running. Maybe it's powerlifting. Clearly, that's not my thing, right? But it's like anything. You say, God, you forgive them. I am actively saying, do what you do. And then let my feelings follow. You do the action. I'll follow you. I'll walk with you, even if I'm not feeling it yet. But I will trust that my feelings will follow. Not necessarily that my feelings about the situation will change, but my ability to feel in a new way. I don't have to shrink. I don't have to freeze. I don't have to flight. I don't have to fight when that person walks into a room anymore. Because I've released this. We ask God to forgive them. We also rebel against evil. You're like, yeah, this is what I was waiting for, right? The rebellion, right? Fighting back. No, rebel against evil. If you're going to agree with evil, you will do what evil does. And what does evil do? Evil continues to fight. It adds more dirt to a pile of dirt. It's just adding to it. God says, no, rebel against evil. How do you rebel against evil? You act in opposite of evil. What's the most fundamental way to make your enemy your friend? You befriend them. What's the most fundamental way just to change your enemy? You befriend them. Like, rebel against evil. What did Jesus do on the cross? I mean, he's rebelling against evil. He's doing it in the act. I will not join you. I will not continue to make dirt on this pile. I will do something new. Ask God to forgive them. Rebel against evil. And then here's what's really cool. Release what doesn't belong to you. These wounds do not belong to you. You are made as someone who will heal with scars, and the scars matter. God cares about the scars. The Psalms tell us that God keeps track of every single one of our tears in a bottle. He keeps it all in a record. He's not putting it to waste. But you watch what he does with your tears. He pours it out over all those dirt, all the dirt, all the mess in our lives. And he says, I could grow a garden out of this. I'll redeem it into something good. Release what doesn't belong to you. My great-grandmother, she lived in Alaska. And every single day, she walked the same route with her daughter. And there was a man, a crazy man, who stood on top of a building in Ketchikan, Alaska one day. And he decided he was going to reenact the JFK assassination. So he said, the first person who walks by this building, I'm going to shoot. The first person who walks by the building is my great-grandmother. And he follows through with what he said he was going to do. He shoots her. Miraculously, she survives. And she's in the hospital. And she said, I'd like to speak to the man who shot me. The police bring him in, and what would you do? What would you say to the man who tried to kill you? What would you do? She looked at him, and she didn't ignore the problem. She didn't say he shouldn't be in prison. She's not pretending like there are no consequences for this, but do you know what she said to him? She said, I forgive you. Do not let this ruin your life, because it will not ruin mine. I forgive you. Do not let this ruin your life, because it will not ruin mine. She was totally free. Jesus on the cross, he's looking out at the people who are killing him. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. He's totally free. They are killing him. They're ending his life, but they're not ruining his life. His life is still fulfilling its purpose, isn't it? He's redeeming us. He's giving forgiveness to all of us. I can empathize with sinners because I am one. Even the most dramatic of all sinners, right? Even the most corrupt of all sinners, at its core, I can empathize with that because I've received the same gift that Jesus gave to everybody on the cross, forgiveness. But for Jesus, it didn't just have to do with releasing sin. Look at what he did. In 1 Peter, I know I have Luke right here, but in 1 Peter tells us that it says this, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. What does that mean? We release when we forgive because we can't fix sin. But what has Jesus done? He's actually fixed what's been made wrong with sin. He can actually deal with it. So when you release what doesn't belong to you, you're not just saying dissipate into the air and pretend like it never happened. Let it go, let it go. Can't bother me anymore. Can't hold me back anymore. You're not saying that. You're saying to the all-powerful God, you deal with this. Because I cannot. You deal with this. I'm done trying to hold somebody by the throat. I'm done trying to keep records. I'm done waiting until I've been satisfied, because forgiveness is not about what somebody deserves. It's about what we all need. Freedom. This is what forgiveness is about. Freedom. It's having the kind of freedom that even Jesus had on the cross, saying, forgive them. This will not ruin my life. I'm saving theirs through this. Forgiveness is not about what somebody deserves. It's about what we need, freedom. It's for your freedom. You get to declare emotional independence from your wounds and your wounders because they don't get to control you anymore. You get to release it to the only one who can actually take care of sin, the only one who can truly fix it. Amen.